Good to be here this morning. And he does reign. And while he's reigning, he's also communicating with his people. He's changing us. That's the wonderful thing about the Christian faith. It changes us. We're not the people we once were. And that goes for people who have been believers for years, as well as the newborn who have just found the faith. I'd like to talk this morning about change. I titled the message, Change That Restores and Strengthens. Let's start by looking at Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 28 to 31. And I chose this scripture because it gives us a little picture of who God is. Because if someone's changing you, or you're asking someone to change you, as in God, we want to know who He is. And we want to be reminded of His character and what He did and what He will do for us. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the Creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired. And it's understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. How's that for a picture of some things He does? He has done and He does now. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. That's us. That's us. Verse 30, even youth grow weary and tired, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Brothers and sisters, that's our God. That's what He wants to do for us. He doesn't want us stumbling around in the dark. He doesn't want us not knowing what to do. He doesn't want us discombobulated. He doesn't want us like that. He wants to renew our strength. He wants us to soar on wings like eagles. He wants us to run. Run the race of the Christian faith and not be weary. He wants us to walk through life and all that life dishes out in a fallen world. He wants us to walk through life and not be faint. Do we become weary? Do we faint? We try to, if we let ourselves go, we will. But this scripture is saying to me that when we are walking and we're ready to faint, we just reach out our arm, we call out to Him, and He's there for us. Change that restores and strengthens begins with a proper view of God. And it answers the question, who is God? He's the Creator. He does not grow tired or weary. Does not grow tired or weary. And He has great understanding of us. And He passes on those characteristics to His people. Doesn't the Word say that God, Jesus, ministers to us and lives in our hearts? So we believe that God is in our hearts. His characteristics are going to come out of us. His characteristics will overrule, as in being more powerful than our flesh. Let me do that again. Sometimes you do things two or three times. By the way, with men, they say, specifically men, studies have shown that you have to repeat something 17 times before they get it. They didn't give me the statistics on the ladies, but the men, it's 17 times. So the God that's in our hearts, that's in us, is greater and overwhelms and overpowers the power of the flesh. That's two. Guys, you got it. You're the spiritual leaders in your homes. That's God, one of God's assignments for us. Let's tell our families, let's remind our families, let's live out the fact that the God that lives in our heart overwhelms and overpowers the flesh and what it wants to do. I asked a question during the opening. When was the last time God clearly spoke to you? And I'm going to go on record that God clearly speaks to His people. And He doesn't talk a foreign language that we don't understand. He's going to speak to our hearts. He's going to speak to us in ways that we can understand. And that we can, when He's finished talking, we can say, yeah, that's what God wants me to do. It should be clear. And if it's not clear, then there's blockages in our lives. There's some block somewhere that we need to find out what that block is and get rid of it. Are there times when God's not speaking clearly? Yes. But it's something that we have put between us and God that's blocking us from hearing clearly. Let me share an experience with you. God spoke very, very clearly to me. Okay, setting the scene. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I am not a morning person, and I'm on my way to Camden, Wyoming, Wednesday morning. I go to a prayer breakfast every Wednesday morning. I don't go every day, but every time, Wednesday mornings it's scheduled. And this Wednesday morning, this past Wednesday, I was scheduled to lead the lesson. We do a little Bible study and we have prayer. And my job was to speak about a Greek word called, get this, apokalupsis. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I can't even pronounce apokalupsis. I just can't do it. My brain is very, very slow at that point. And I'm riding down, going to Camden, Wyoming, and I prayed. I wrote my prayer down. Let me do this right. I prayed this. God, would you help me with this lesson? I need your help. And I'm driving, and God said to me, that was lame. That was real lame. What do you really want? Help is too general. I'm like, that was lame. You know, when God speaks to you, it's not always a pat on the back. If you're doing something lame and you could be doing more, you should be doing more, then He's going to tell you. It's an honest relationship. That's what I love about the relationship with God. He's honest. He'll tell you right where you're at. And then He'll tell you what to do to get out of it, get further along the line. So I re-prayed that prayer. I said, prayed this. God, Would you help me with this lesson for the glory of your kingdom, so that I can be used to communicate your heart to your people, that people can be equipped with the tools needed to answer the objections of unbelievers, that they can learn to ask probing questions and give searing hot answers to open minds and hearts. God, that's why I want you to help me with this lesson. That's why. Prayers. And we want to pray prayers that change us and change other people. We need to get passionate. And we need to get very, very, very specific. What do you really want? What do you really need? And get passionate and pass that on to God. Now, let's talk about apocalypsis. Anybody know what that word means? Apocalypsis. It's a Greek word. It's divided into two parts. And the first part is apo, apo, which means away with. Away with or away from. Kalypsis means something that's veiled, something that's covered. And you put those two phrases together in the Greek. Apocalypsis means an unveiling, an uncovering. Remember when the veil of the temple, when Jesus was crucified, the veil of the temple was split. There was an apocalypsis. The veil of the temple was split, and we no longer had to go through, people no longer had to go through the sacrificial system. We could go directly to God ourselves. We didn't have to go through the priest. We didn't have to go through any all that stuff. We have direct access to God. Could we look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 2? I believe that God, apocalypsis means revelation. Things are revealed. They're unveiled. They're now revealed to us. Apostle Paul, read this. I went in response to a revelation, an apocalypsis, and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. So Apostle Paul went to people to preach to them, to teach them as a result of a revelation. So God revealed himself. He gave an apocalypsis, an unveiling of truth, of the gospel, of salvation to him. God spoke to him. God apocalyped him. My word. And then he was able to go preach among the Gentiles who had never heard the gospel. Because God revealed things to him. He put it in his heart. And do you know in, what century is it? 20th century? 21st century? What century is it? Somebody tell me. 21st century. In the 21st century, there are more people that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, who have never heard the gospel, And right here in America, right here in Delaware, right here in Dover, many, many people who have never, ever had a clear presentation of the gospel and what it means to become a believer in Jesus Christ. And God wants to speak to them. He wants to speak to us so we can speak to them. He wants to unveil the gospel. He wants to unveil spiritual things to them. And he wants to use us. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen unless each one of us as believers gets a clear apocalypsis from God himself. There's nothing that will change us, that will restore us, that will strengthen us. Nothing will change us like hearing directly from God. If I were to take a poll this morning, I'm sure there are many of us who would say, I've heard from God. Maybe some of you would say, I've never really clearly heard from him. I think he just speaks through his word and through prayer. And, you know, he does. Yes, he does. But a clear word from him. One like, that's a lame prayer. Let's do it over. It's that kind of apocalypsis that each of us need. Every one of us need that kind of contact with God through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the one that he sends to bring that message burning into our heart. We all need that. And when we get that, when we receive that, and we hear clearly from God, that changes us. And we're able to go out. And just like Apostle Paul, when he got an apocalypsis, an unveiling from God, then he was able to go out and minister to people who had never heard the gospel before. He was able to do it. Because he was a changed man. Let's look at Galatians 1:12. Apostle Paul, speaking about where he got his knowledge and wisdom. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by a revelation, an unveiling, an apocalypsis from Jesus Christ. So the message he was taking to people who had never heard the gospel, needy, needy souls, sad, sick souls, worshiping all manner of idols and philosophies. And Paul was able to minister. He testified to where he got it. He got it by apocalypsis, revelation from God. I'm going to use some strong words. I might have to do it 17 times here. Revelation, personal revelation, is what God is offering to all of us who will listen. And it will change us. It will change us. For you guys, I have to give it to you at least twice. Revelation is what God is offering to each one of us who will listen. And it will change us. Revelation and apocalypsis. God speaking directly to the human heart through the medium of the Holy Spirit. Speaking to us. And Apostle Paul, frequently he tells us things like, God told me to go to Troas or wherever he went. God told me, it's in the scripture, it's all through the book of Acts. God told me to go. God told me to do this. Now my question this morning is, was Apostle Paul different? Was he just totally unique in that God spoke to him? I believe that God wants to speak to each one of us just like he did to Apostle Paul. Because God's passion is what? His passion is people. And he's looking down right now. Down? No. That's wrong. By the way, that's wrong. God is omnipresent. He's right here among us. It's not like he's up there looking. No. He's everywhere. He's seated on the throne and here at the same time. Ask me sometime, I'll try to explain that to you. But his passion is people. Everyone here. He loves all of us, but he loves just as much he loves all the unbelievers out there. All those who are all tangled up in sin, don't know their right hand from their left, all mixed up and muxed up. And he loves every one of them. And he's here among us, and he's seeing a bunch of believers. And I believe, tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. I believe that God has a personal apocalypse for every one of us, where he tells us, go do this and this. Go to this place. Go visit this person. Go speak an encouraging word. And I believe that his revelation is clear enough that he'll tell us who to go to, who's ready, because his wisdom no man can fathom. So he knows who's ready for an encouraging word, who's ready to be invited to church, who's ready to be invited to a Bible study or somewhere where they can have some Christian fellowship. God knows that. And he wants to let each one of us know who we can help. God's passion is people. And God wants to reveal himself to us. Are you thinking, but I'm not hearing from God? I don't get those apocalypses you're talking about. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. By the way, very, very, very common thoughts. And you know who's preaching that to you? When you're saying in your heart and you're thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. You know what that is? I recently came upon this concept and I really like it. That's Satan preaching you a sermon. I'm not good enough. Look, I look in the Bible. No way. I don't meet the standard. That's Satan. Satan even tried to preach to Jesus when he was tempted in the wilderness. He said, use scripture. And he preaches to us too. To keep us from being changed, to keep us from hearing from God, to keep us from getting that change, that apocalypse is from God that'll change us and give us specific direction to let us know how to act, what to do, how to live. We get that from revelation from the Lord Jesus, from the Father, through the Holy Spirit. Yep, Satan only preaches half the sermon. What's the other half? If Satan is preaching you a sermon that you're not worthy, what's the other half of the sermon he's leaving out? Somebody tell me. What's the other half of the sermon? Satan tells you, preaches to you, you're not worthy. Look, you don't compare with, you don't make it. What's the other part? He don't tell you nothing about redemption. He doesn't tell you about salvation. He doesn't tell you about redemption. He doesn't tell you about forgiveness. And we understand that part, that we're forgiven. Lately, the verse from Scripture that I've been using the most with people who are unbelievers and believers who are discouraged, Psalms 130, verses 3 and 4. If you, O God, should mark down iniquities, keep a record of sin, who could stand? And then you pause and think. But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared and respected. And I've seen those verses change people's lives. If you, God, if you keep a record of our sins, if you marked them down and held them against us, who could stand? Who could? I couldn't. You couldn't. But with him, there's forgiveness. Therefore, he's feared and respected. Don't let Satan get away with preaching you half a sermon. The other half, I am redeemed. I'm a child of God. I'm made in his image. And he lives in my heart. And he speaks to me. And he doesn't keep a record of my sins. You do, but he doesn't. And I strongly, strongly believe that we have the right and the privilege, Jesus Christ, to talk back to Satan. Can he beat us one-on-one? Yes. Can he beat us when we're teamed up with the Lord Jesus? No. And with Jesus in our heart and Jesus giving us the words to speak back to Satan, we can do it. Satan, you're telling me that I'm not free. You're telling me that I can never be free. You're telling me that I'm a sinner. You're telling me that I'm hopeless. You're telling me all this stuff. That I'm not worthy, that I'm not good enough, that God would never speak to a fellow like me, that God would never use a fellow or a lady like me. We need to come right back at him with Scripture. We are not redeemed by ourselves. We're redeemed by the cross. We're redeemed by God's forgiveness, who doesn't keep a record of our sins. Talk back to him. Let God reveal the words to you. He'll do that. I do this every time. I've got two more pages. That was one page. Time to quit. Oh, wow. Let me say this. All of us here from the front row right on back. Nobody on the front row over here. But all through this congregation, we're a bunch of forgiven sinners. If you don't feel like you're a forgiven sinner, come talk to me afterwards and we'll get you a forgiven sinner. Every one of us is a forgiven sinner. Apostle Paul, forgiven sinner. Peter, that guy who stamped his foot and said, "Oh no, God, I don't know Jesus. Who are you talking about? I never met the guy. You liar." Forgiven sinner. That's what he said. What about Ruth, who came from a land of foreign gods? Forgiven sinner. Every one of us. Wow, I'm looking at a bunch of forgiven sinners. I'm going to look at myself. Every one of us. Let me make this clear. God uses forgiven sinners. He apocalypses forgiven sinners. He speaks directly to our need. He speaks directly to the path that He's given to us. He speaks directly to us about people in our lives. He speaks directly to us about the things that He brings words of encouragement to us. He corrects us when we're wrong. He will name people for us. He will show us who to talk to. Right in the midst of talking to people, He will give us apocalypses so we know what else to say to them. Because He knows His wisdom and understanding no one can fathom or understand. So He knows the things that you need to minister to the people in your lives. Church, let's go out and do it. You'll do it differently than I do, but God wants you to do it. Okay, you bunch of forgiven sinners, let's stand and pray. A forgiven sinner, by the way, is called something else. Can someone tell me what a forgiven sinner is called in the Word? A saint. Exactly. So, forgiven sinner is a negative side of it. I should have been saying saints the whole time, but to get your understanding of what a saint is a forgiven sinner. Let's just pray together. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, and I'm going to ask God specifically, and I'm going to tell Him why I want Him to give an apocalypse, an unveiling of Himself for every one of you. Because time is short, and there's too many souls ending up in Satan's fire, both in this life and the life to come. And you don't think unbelievers who are, they're like, I talked to some of them, they're already burning. They just feel miserable, they can't stand life, they're just they're droopy. They're already suffering the pangs of eternal death. But if a believer that has had an apocalypse comes into their life, they can be changed. Let's pray. Father, I come to You. I come because of what Jesus has done. He's turned forgiven sinners into saints. And You minister to Your saints. You give them a personal word. You love them. You care for them. And Father, I'm just going to move through this congregation and I'm just going to ask You to give these brothers and sisters in Jesus, give them a personal word. Will You minister to their hearts and give them names of people who are ready? Give them a ministry. Just show them what You want them to be doing. Give them a personal apocalypse. An unveiling of Yourself for them so that they don't go through life confused, so they don't go through life wondering, what do I do? Because You can let them know And Father, I just pray that you'll touch each one here, each believer. Change them. Change them. For the sake of your kingdom. And because you love people, you have a passion for people. Help us catch that passion. And help us get that personal unveiling of yourself to us. So we know what we're about. We know what we're supposed to be doing, where we're supposed to be going. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.